In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. Please be seated. As those who followed Jesus began to increase in number during his lifetime, and even more so following his death and resurrection, people who were not Jewish by either birth or conversion also began to come into the flock. Following the resurrection of Jesus, taking one of his very first missionary trips, today in the Acts of the Apostles, we hear that Peter has left to Jerusalem and has come smack up against the question that's going to either make or break the early church. Who is in and who is out? Are there boundaries that determine who is welcome within the faith community of those who follow Jesus? The Torah, the prophets, the Psalms, and the oral traditions that grew up around those scriptures provided boundaries, provided rules, provided guidance to every aspect of Jewish life, and especially to the question of what makes one a Jew. And if you are a Jew, then how is it that you're supposed to live and move and have your being in the community in which you live? So in today's reading from Acts, we step into the middle of an episode in Peter's life. He's been called back to Jerusalem. He's been called on the carpet by the elders, the other disciples, the leaders of the community in Jerusalem to explain his actions. What on earth did you think you were doing? They said to Peter. You have stayed in the homes of uncircumcised men. You ate food with them. And now we hear that you have baptized them. You can't do those things. We have the law. We have our traditions. We have our boundaries. We have our guidance. We have our rules. What were you thinking? That's the setup for the lesson we had today in Acts. And Peter responds with the story of a vision and a story of an angel and a story about the Holy Ghost. It's a very strange vision that Peter had while he was praying. Three times he presented with a carpet with animals that are unclean. Four-footed animals, reptiles, and birds of the air, all of which are presumed to be not kosher, defined in Leviticus to not be clean for a Jewish person to eat. Nevertheless, in this vision he had, in this dream he had, he is urged to eat. And Peter protests, standing on his belief in the Torah and the traditions of his faith. He refuses to eat. Nothing unclean has ever passed my lips, and nothing unclean ever will pass my lips. Now, in this vision, as Peter reflected on it, he finally realizes that he's hearing the voice of God talking to him. He seemed to come to that understanding later and not in the moment. But it was God who was telling him that what God has made clean, he, Peter, must not call unclean. Now, Peter's staying at that moment, if we read the previous verses, we'd know that Peter is staying in that town with a man called Simon. And Simon is a Gentile, so Peter's not supposed to stay in the house of a Gentile because they're unclean. Simon is a tanner. He takes animals and then kills them and takes the hide off and makes leather, which all of us enjoy in our belts and our purses and our shoes. Someone does that work. In the Torah, in the Jewish tradition back in those days, that was an unclean profession. A Jew couldn't do it, but a Gentile could. So a Jew could buy the belt from the Gentile because it's not filthy then, but a Jew cannot be the one who makes the belt. because you can't be the one that deals with the tanning, because you can't do those things that are unclean. So Simon's already in deep water because he's staying in the house of Simon, who is a tanner. But in this dream, Peter wakes up and he finds visitors from Caesarea who say they've been told by their boss that he had a vision of an angel and you're supposed to come with us to Caesarea. So now Peter's been staying in the house of a Gentile. He's had a dream about unclean meat that he's supposed to eat. And now he's confronted with Gentiles who tell him, come with us to go see another Gentile. Well, Peter's all in. So off he goes. He's following the path that's before him. And he arrives to Caesarea. And the man there says that he, the Gentile in Caesarea, had a vision of an angel. And the angel told him to go get Peter, and bring him back to you in Caesarea. And Peter is going to have a message for you, the man of Caesarea, by which your household will be saved. So go fetch him from Simon the tanner and bring him here to Caesarea, because he's going to bring you a message by which you and your whole household are going to be saved. So as Peter continues to tell that story to his friends in Jerusalem, with whom he is in hot water, as Peter tells the story, he tells them that something completely unexpected happened. Peter tells them, as he was explaining to them about the message of Jesus to the Gentiles and his household, that the Holy Spirit fell on the household, just like the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples in the upper room on the day of Pentecost with the flames on their head. Now that's the disciples, good Jews, followers of Jesus. Peter's in a Gentile home, unclean people. He's telling the story, and the Holy Spirit shows up. This is a stunning development. What is the Holy Spirit doing? Showing up to Gentiles like that. Because they're not Jews. They're not circumcised. They're unclean. The law and tradition is very, very clear. Men have to be circumcised. Those people don't follow the law regarding what to eat and what not to eat. So you can just imagine the blood pressure going up and up and up with these elders in Jerusalem, who are the other 10 disciples that Peter hung out with all those years with Jesus, plus some other leaders. Peter and the Holy Spirit have really stepped over the line this time. Because if they've acted totally outside everything that these folks have in their worldview, even from Jesus, everything from their worldview. And then Peter drops the bombshell into the debate. He says, if then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus, who was I that I could hinder God? If then God gave them the same gift that God gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus, who was I that I could hinder God? And then the gospel tells us, the Acts of the Apostles tells us, when they heard this, they were silenced. The elders, the other apostles, the other followers of Jesus. Peter's story and then his final rebuttal to their anger sealed the deal. Now we know this was not easy for Peter. The story from the scripture has told us that Peter was presented with this vision of unclean food coming down on the blanket 3 times. And 3 times he heard the voice of God telling him to eat. And 3 times he refused to eat. As he tells us the story of the vision, he never ate the food. Because Peter could not get his heart and his mind and his soul around the idea that there is no longer a barrier between the clean and the unclean. In Jesus Christ, there is no longer a barrier between male and female. Because in Jesus Christ, there is no longer a barrier between Jew and Greek. He couldn't believe that. It just wasn't in him to understand that until he actually met the Gentiles. First, that Gentile cohort who was sent to fetch him, and then Cornelius and his family and friends in Caesarea. Jesus moved across the boundary only after his encounter with particular people. Only then did Jesus understand, did Peter understand, that God shows no favoritism. Only after Peter encountered those Gentiles and had his vision, finally he opened his heart and his mind and his soul to realize that God shows no favoritism. You can watch either Fox News or MSNBC. You can like Sean Hannity or Rachel Maddow. You can read the New York Times or the New York Daily News or the Wall Street Journal. And you know, you don't even have to do those things. And you probably know that we live in an utterly polarized nation right now. Utterly polarized. Well, I think this story from Acts is good for us today, because I think in it, Jesus is calling us to cross lines and barriers, to take down the barricades that wall us off from each other, from the people we know, from our next door neighbors, from the people we work with, from the people we sit in the pews with, that wall us off from those who belong to that other political party. That wall us off from those that go to that belong to another denomination. That wall us off from those that belong to a different faith tradition. That wall us off from those of another ethnicity, another socioeconomic class, or someone whose skin is different colored than ours. All of those barriers, all of those barricades, all of those lines create the polarized society that we sadly live in today. But to bring it closer to home, Jesus also calls us to cross those barriers and those lines that separate us from people who have hurt us. People in our family who have hurt us. People who are who we work with who have hurt us. People who are our friends who have hurt us. People in church who have hurt us. People at the Rotary Club. People at the Garden Club who have hurt us. And I have a little trick when I write my sermons. I have a woman's compact mirror that I Velcro on my computer screen so I can see myself when I'm typing sermons. And then, so I had to come to this point. It's easy to talk about crossing the barriers for the people who have hurt us, who hurt me. But the more important barrier is the barrier between me and someone who I have hurt. Someone in my family who I have hurt, and I've created a barrier. One of my friends who I have hurt, and I've created a wall. Someone I work with or go to church with, or go to lodge with, or plant trees for Arbor Day with, who I've created a boundary and have hurt them. That's also a boundary that I need to cross. And I suppose that many of you, some of you, at least one of you, has also hurt someone in your life, and there's a wall and a barrier there that maybe you need to break through, just like Peter in the story. These stories aren't given to us to just read and hear and walk away with. For 2,000 years in the Hebrew Scriptures, for 3,500 years, these stories have been kept to us for a reason, so we can hear them, as a prayer book says, read them, mark them, inwardly digest them, so they become a part of our life. And this is a story about barriers and lines and walls that sometimes someone else builds, sometimes the ones that we build. So I believe that Jesus calls us to cross all of those invisible fences Jesus calls us to do that so that we might see and love others as God sees and loves us. Through the mystery of the incarnation, we believe that God showed up on earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And the Word of the flesh, the Word who became flesh, we believe, dwelt among us. And when we read Matthew 25, when God talks to us about who's hungry and who's thirsty and who's in prison and who's sick and who needs to be visited, we also believe, at least we're supposed to believe, that we also see Jesus in other people. Every other person we meet. Christ calls us to a conversion of our heart and our mind and our soul so we can cross that invisible fence that separates us from each other. We are the Gentile heirs of that family in Caesarea who the Holy Ghost fell on. That in the story, that's us. We're not the heirs of the Jewish people. The Jewish people are the Jewish people. We can't step in, and that's called supersessionism, and it's a heresy. We burn people who believe that, so we don't believe that. We don't believe that we're the heirs of the Jews. The Jews are the Jews. They're fine. They don't need us to be their heirs. We're the heirs of those Gentiles in Caesarea. We're the unclean people. We're the uncircumcised men. We're the people who eat dirty food. That's who we are the heirs of, those folks in Caesarea. That in spite of all of that unclean, unlaw, outside the tradition life they led, even so, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And that's us. That's who we are the heirs of. So as the heirs of those Gentiles in Caesarea, we should give thanks that those earliest followers of Jesus, those guys back in Jerusalem who called Peter in to wag a finger at him and tell him to get back inside the lines, we should give thanks that those earliest followers of Jesus recognized the work of the Holy Ghost in the lives of those otherwise deemed to be outside the boundaries of who was welcome. If that conversation had gone another way, life would have been very different for us. So let us pray for all people, especially and including ourselves, that like Peter, we may be able to recognize the same gift that God gave us that resides in every other person. Because just as Peter challenged the leadership in Jerusalem, the Word of God should convict us and challenge us. Who are we to hinder God? Amen.